From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome once more to the program that seeks to let the Bible speak. A little later in the broadcast, we'll be turning to Titus chapter 1, verse 1, to continue our study of the faith of God's elect. But first, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for today. For our daily devotional, today we're turning to Psalm 23, verse 1. The Pearl of Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. No psalm is more familiar or precious to saints than the 23rd. It has blessed and comforted God's people since David first sang it on the Judean hills. In trial or in prosperity, its message is timeless and universal for the trusting saint. It speaks to us of God's providential care and His gracious provision for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord is our shepherd reminds us that we are His possession and that He will provide for us, protect us, and guide us. He provides rest for the weary. In His order, rest precedes activity. Since the place of rest is the place of God's presence, this order is essential. Only as we enjoy these habitations of peace and waters of rest can we negotiate the daily course of life with spiritual success. He renews us. When we are weak, He strengthens. When we are sinful, He sanctifies. When we are sorrowful, He satisfies. He guides us. There is no risk of losing our way because He leads along straight, clearly marked tracks. By His word and by His providence, He makes the way clear. He protects us. Sometimes those straight paths lead through deep, dark valleys. But even here, our pace is steady because His presence keeps danger away from us and us away from danger. He secures our peace. As our gracious host, He invites us to a victory celebration. Even though the enemy may surround us, He guarantees our safety and turns seeming defeat to triumph. He shows us friendship. His benevolent loyalty is constantly hunting and pursuing us. To be overtaken by this swift pursuer is to experience the joy of unceasing fellowship in the presence of the Lord. And our thought for the day: our shepherd goes before us, and His sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, come behind us so that we need fear no attack from any direction. Spirit, let the Bible speak. We try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church, is a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches. In our study of Titus 1 verse 1 on the subject of the faith of God's elect, we continue to think of the essential truths of the gospel and will proceed to make a start on what the text says about the elect's trust in the gospel. We commence with the answer of the epistle of Titus to the age-old question that Job asked, "How shall a man be just with God? How may I be saved?" For the answer, let's turn to the Word of God.
But how can a man be just? How can I be saved? And how can I be sure I'm saved? This little epistle of Titus gives the answer. And it points obviously to the work of Christ. In chapter 2, it speaks of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us unto himself from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a people of his personal possession, zealous of good works. In the next chapter, chapter 4, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace. How can a man be just with God? By his grace. By his grace, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace, saved by mercy, brought to regeneration and renewal by the Holy Ghost, all through the mighty purifying and redeeming power of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that is greater than all our sin. You know, when you stop to think of it, it is good news when God tells a man he's a sinner. That's good news. Not good that he's a sinner, but it's good news because now we know what's wrong and there's an answer for sin. Some of you have had this experience in the medical realm. There's something wrong. You go to one doctor, another doctor, another doctor. They haven't a clue in the world what's wrong. They say there's something wrong, but they're all at sea. And until they know what they're dealing with, there's no answer to it. They may try to palliate it in some way. They may try to cover pain by painkillers, but they're not getting to the bottom of it because they can't diagnose it. When they come and tell you, now we know what's wrong, if that which is wrong is something for which there is an absolutely certain remedy, then it's good news. Well, sin, deadly as it is, can be dealt with. There's grace. There's grace. The God of heaven is the God of grace. And he saves the ungodly. He regenerates them. He renews them by the Holy Spirit. He justifies them, pardoning all their sin, establishing them as his righteous people with Christ's righteousness put to their account. He covers them under the blood. He redeems them from all their iniquity. He purifies their lives. Man, that's the gospel. That's grace. Filthy sinners. Purified. People who couldn't pass up an opportunity to take drugs or drink. Purified. People who were as immoral. Purified. Debauched and depraved with their own pride and self-importance. Humbled and purified. That's the grace of God. It's good news. God, you see, the gospel of God is the only gospel of power. Following on from grace that saves, there's godliness. Because God's truth received in the heart, as we have just read in verse 1, produces godliness. According to chapter 2, verse 12, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The blood purchased us to be a pure people. And so when we believe the gospel, it produces good works. It produces behavior that becometh godliness, according to chapter 2 and verse 3. Any faith. Now let me be absolutely clear about this. Any faith or claimed faith that does not have the fruit of godliness is not genuine faith. It is a dead faith, and it is a deadly faith. Rather than saving, it will damn. God, grace, godliness. That's the progression. And of course it ends in glory. We have read in verse 2 of the hope of eternal life. This gospel throbs with hope. There's a beautiful statement in chapter 2:13 that we're looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? It is the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Christians are assured of eternal glory. These are wonderful descriptions then of the gospel right at the very beginning. Fundamental. Let me give you a little outline that you may want to study a little more carefully. There are three descriptions of the gospel in these opening two verses of Titus. There's the faith of God's elect. That's what Christians believe for salvation. There's the truth according to godliness. That's the guiding light of the Christian life. And then there's the hope of eternal life. And that's the confidence with which Christians believing the gospel face life and death and eternity. Here then are what we will call the essential truths of the gospel. God, grace, godliness, glory. All in Jesus Christ. Now let me finish with the second point. And that's the elect's trust in the gospel. Paul says, I'm an apostle. According to or in the interest of the faith of God's elect, I'm an apostle to bring God's elect to faith. Do you notice this? That all God's elect become believers infallibly. There is no salvation merely by election. That may sound strange coming from me, a Calvinist. But it's not a bit strange. There is no salvation for any one of us apart from the personal faith that God gives us in Jesus Christ. This Bible knows nothing of an election that doesn't bring men to faith in Christ. Now let me turn that around. There's so many people come to the Bible and they read this word elect and election and predestination and all the rest of it. I've met these people. They're the hardest people in the world to deal with. Remember in my church in Ballymoney, a little village outside in the town of Ballymoney, and there was a woman there. I visited with her and others visited with her. She was in church, not our church, but a Reformed Presbyterian church, every Sabbath day. She learned the Bible, she learned the catechism, but she could not close with Christ. Why? Because she said, I do not know if I am God's elect. And until I know that I'm God's elect, I cannot believe, because only the elect have the right to believe. And I tell you, that is how the devil perverts the truth. I'm never called to find out the mystery of God's election. What I am told is that the elect believe, and all believers are God's elect. That's the mark of God's elect. They believe. It's not the mark of anybody else, but God's elect. In his decree of election, God purposed to save his chosen people by bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul taught the Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, the word is in or by, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now watch that carefully, because that establishes a vital truth. Believers are not elect because they believe. They believe because they're elect. The faith of God's elect. In other words, this is a description of a people chosen, and as a result of that, they believe. Watch carefully in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 again. We're chosen to salvation. It's the salvation that's in and through belief of the truth. It's not the election. Listen, God did not look at you and say, ah, that's a good man, he'll believe, I'll choose him. No, God looked and he said, that's a vile, bad man. That's a sinner who deserves hell. And if I were to wait for anything good in him, I would never choose him. But I choose him in sovereign grace, the good pleasure of divine love. You see, faith is the fruit, not the root, of God's electing grace. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, says Peter, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, all believers are God's elect. The question is not tonight for you to find out, am I elect? That's not the question that a sinner has to deal with at all. The question is, do I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do I believe? Because if I believe, that's the mark of God's elect. All the elect believe, and all believers are elect.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.